All right, guys, welcome back to Swan Song. Going to the second hour here. Adam, what's up?
So we fade up from the commercial on the screen that we saw Higgs looking at before, and maybe we can see, you know, the movement. The camera implies Higgs is still there. Maybe like the sound of ice cubes clatter in an empty glass, and the camera. There's a beep and a graphic comes up, like a little notification that you have an email.
Okay. Yeah, I like drunkenly. I guess I'm not drunk. I have a pretty strong tolerance. This is the first drink of the day. I just like hit the accept button or whatever.
This is only second breakfast. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, you pop the email open. It's from, it just says on the front line, like, Captain Buford. Subject is falling star. The content of the message, the content says, we got six. Best I could do on short notice. And then a location on like a nearby planet and a date. So it tells you, you know, like it's in like 2 days.
Okay. How close is the planet?
It's in the same system. So you're orbiting the same sun. It's like one planet away.
Can I fly there, or do I have to get another ship?
I mean, yeah, you could fly there in the Swan Song, or you could take a shuttle. There's shuttles between them occasionally.
How much do shuttles cost?
Not much, because you're within one hex. Depends on how fancy you want it to be.
Okay. I guess, like, I very abruptly quit the laziness and the way I'm sitting and everything, and, like, quickly respond and just, I just respond back, like, see you there, and then enter. And then, is Piani still down in, like, where is Piani at this point?
Yeah. I mean, well, did Prosper leave then, officially?
Yeah.
I guess I need to go find my place for the, last piece I need. The last piece I need. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have a connection here already, or?
No, I don't believe I did. I was just told, I'm pretty sure, by that guy.
Oh, yeah, on Majid. He was like, go to Cabral. This is where you can find the word. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you'll have to go searching. You'll have to go and put the word out that you need a, like, a neural net, a learning computer.
Okay.
And, okay, cool. So what, I guess you can do that with like a culture skill if you want, or do you have like a tech skill that you could use with the charisma for this?
I have culture criminal, tech, sci-tech, post-tech.
Okay. You could use either, post-tech with charisma if you want to go put the word out that you're looking for something like that. Yeah.
Okay. That is what I will do. It's same roll either way.
Yep.
Zero. Fucking Christ.
Okay. All right. So it doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means it's going to take you a lot of time and like effort asking around. So, you know, a couple of days will pass before you get a solid lead and end up, you know, finding someone who can help you.
Okay.
During that time... let's see what Mr. Sakarian is doing. I think we'll catch up with Higgs and Piani at the same time.
Yeah, I guess before we go, if you're not on the ship, I just send you a text like, need to talk urgent. I'm at the ship or something like that. And then we can come back to that.
Who do you send that to?
To Piani.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Piani would be like back and forth, or like maybe you talk to Piani before, if you want to have that conversation before, for you.
Okay.
To,
yeah. Well, I guess, do you just come back to the ship, Piani?
Yeah, I mean, like, as I probably ask around, I probably go so I can, like, post a bulletin or something. So I would eventually come back to the ship. Yeah.
Okay. I guess you see me kind of, like, quickly putting together, like, grab-and-go bag in my room. And I see that I'm like, oh, hey, good, Piani, you're here. Hey, I gotta go away for a couple days, okay? I'm leaving... Sakarian, I think, is going to get some work done. You're going to be the only one that'll be alive, kind of. So I'm going to leave the ship with you. Is that cool?
I'm not... You want me to stay with the ship?
No, no. I'm just saying you're going to be here on the planet. I'm not. I'm taking a shuttle over to. I'm leaving this planet and going to another one just for a couple days. I'll be back. So
well, where are you going?
I got to go do a thing. I got to go see a guy about a thing.
Well, I don't care what it is, but where are you going?
I looked at it's on the data slate, and I just like toss him my data pad with the coordinates on it.
Okay. Yeah, a quick glance. You can see that it's on the only other inhabited planet in the system. It's a planet that is trying to recover from a fairly recent, like within this generation, like orbital bombardment by another like faction which no longer exists. So they're only like TL2. You know that just at a glance. And it's just like a location in the like one of the cities on that planet.
You got the girl there, Higgs.
I stop exactly what or everything that I'm doing and just kind of like calmly raise up and look at you. I'm just like, what's it to you, Piani?
I don't know. I just, you know, just wondering. It's fine. Go.
Look,
go.
We've all got our secrets. Okay, I gotta go take care of this. I'll be back. It'll be no problem. But if something happens, God forbid, the ship's yours. And then I just like go back to packing everything quickly.
Piani says nothing. She's like, she walks away with approval. Like, all right, great.
Piani, go kill Higgs. You get a free ship.
You get a free ship.
We still owe a lot on it. So,
yeah. Speaking of which, you're 2 months behind on your payments now.
You didn't say anything, so now it's free.
Oh, that's how debt works.
We have to stop.
You didn't remind
me to take care of it. We have 58,960 in reserve.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
how much is it to pay all that off?
Another 2 months. I mean, it's $82.20 a month. So.
Yep.
Yeah, just pay.
So $16,440.
Correct.
And plus $32.30 for a month,
yeah.
And then another month of that.
Yep. Keep up on your maintenance.
All right, then we will pay you $22,900 out of this.
Okay.
Put it back in our safe funds.
So 22,900. Cool.
$900,
and is that's just you're paying the base payment for all that stuff. You're not putting any extra down.
Yeah.
We should also look into getting a nav computer on this planet.
Is that a thing that you want to buy?
That's going to cost more than we have.
Well, let's just kill everyone and steal it then.
Sakari like says that as he's slowly going under his amnesia.
Thunder God! He just starts shooting. Yes!
It's only 10K. An advanced nav computer.
That's not bad.
Oh, it's not. It's only 10K.
Yeah, cost times 10 for frigates, 25 for cruisers, but we're not in any of those things, so it's just 10K.
Well, you're a frigate, so it's...
Oh, are we?
Yeah, it's 100,000.
Ah, okay. Well, so it's only 100K.
Workout payment plans.
Oh, it's 100K? Shit.
Yeah, let me double check, but I'm pretty sure that's
what's just more debt in a game about debt and not leveling?
The free merchant is, yes, I think a frigate.
Well, the minimum class of ship that it can be on is a frigate. So either we can't have one or we can.
You can. It just costs 100,000 credits.
Yep, totally.
Can you work out payment plans?
Yeah, totally. We can just add to your debt. If you want to go to a Sunbeam, Sunbeam Omnistellar Limited has a store on this planet you could go and visit right now. Come on in, y'all.
Hey, wait. I'm not there, of course, but you hear the voice of Prosper echoing in your head, Piani. Aren't you a precognitive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we should buy a precog nav chamber, because that sounds awesome.
Sure.
What is a precog nav chamber?
Do we have any jobs outstanding? Like
literally?
We've got... Don't we have that stuff in our...
Yeah, but we missed that. We sell it to somebody else.
No, they're going to set up a new date. We got that.
I think we don't have any other jobs.
I have to go to Tohi 403 to get a package. For what? I do not know.
Oh, you do have a job outstanding. You guys have a cargo hold full of dangerous chemicals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me just double check real quick, because it doesn't say on Free Merchant the size of the ship, because I don't want to get you all riled up about something you can't have. So let me check. Starship hulls, Free Merchant. Yeah, it is a frigate. Okay, so yes, you can have it. That's a thing.
We're going to have what, the precog?
You can buy the advanced nav computer. It will cost you 100,000. A precog nav chamber will cost you 1,000,000 credits, and it's a TL5 piece of equipment. So
okay. It's actually really not that good for the cost.
Yeah, that's pretty
expensive. I mean, it's sci-tech, so...
Yeah.
Then we're going to, as long as we all agree, let's do the advanced computer, but let me use my business skills to attempt and fail to knock down that price a little bit. Maybe get a payment plan.
For an advanced nav computer?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm all for it.
All right. So are you going, is it just Mr. Sakarian and his crutch?
Yeah.
All right, so you're in a, you're in the Sunbeam Omnistellar, shipyard facility, and it's like a little office, really fancy. It looks kind of like a hickier version of an Apple store. Lots of like white plastic everywhere. Pictures on the walls of like ancient Earth, of like NASCARs racing, and like there's a picture of like a guy holding a pig, and these are framed in like high art style, like big gold frames. And out the window, you can see they've got the like shipyard, and there's a whole bunch of like spaceships, like fighters and like pleasure yachts, a couple of fancy like freighters and stuff. And everyone in here is dressed like someone who tries to imagine what a cowboy looks like from a cartoon of a cowboy. So lots of like huge hats and like red and white checkered dresses on all the ladies. And when you come in, a guy in a big Stetson and a black business suit comes over, and he's like looks at you. He's like, "You, sir, you need a new spaceship, don't you? Is that why you're here? Brand new spaceship? Maybe one of these pleasure yachts?" And he like gestures his shoulder. "Maybe you're a tough guy. Maybe you need one of these." And he like gestures. There's like a fighter with like huge like laser Gatling guns on the side. He's like, "You look like a real manly man. I bet you could do some real damage with that thing."
The whole time he's saying this, I'm looking at him, and if you like look carefully, you can see the cogs in my eyes like churning as I try to process his accent. Then there's a brief pause when he's done, and I go, "Evening, feller. My name is Donald Ragonite, and I do not need a ship. In fact, what I do need, sir, is to make the ships I got even better."
"Oh, god dang, you're an enthusiast, ain't you? Well, all right, we got all the upgrades you could ever want. You looking for bigger guns, faster engines? What you looking for? Come on over here." And he, like, walks you over to a hologram display, and he starts flipping through, like, all kinds of, like, fancy-looking, like, engines and, like, upgrades for the ship. And he's just, like, talking at you and not really listening, but he's like, "How about one of these?" Tells you all the like stats, flips it to the next one. "How about this? Maybe you need some new missile tubes." Like on and on. And
as he says all of this, there's like there's just a very strange pause after everything he says, but then I like go, "Hoo wee." "Oh dang."
"Yeah, god dang.
God damn." "Shit." He's like flipping pages and he's saying stuff, and there's just like a little bit of like jump in. And like
he looks at you like he'll show you something, and he'll be like, "What do you think of that, son?" And he looks at you, and there's like a little bit of a pause, and you're like,
"God damn."
"Damn." He's like, "That's right, damn. You seen it?" And he like flips to the next thing. And eventually he gets to the navigation part. And he brings up a navigation computer, and he's like, this here's the hottest shit we got for navigation. You're always getting lost in space, get turned around out there. I know, it's hard. We manly men have bigger things to think about than tracking our way through space. I got stuff to blow up. You got stuff to blow up. You buy one of these babies, you don't
as
need to think about that no more."
I put my hand out, and I go, "Look here, sir. There's only three things I love in this goddamn universe. Good steak. A throbbing animal between my legs as I ride it, and blowing shit up. And you just hit on all three of them, but I don't even think you know about it. He goes. Put the navigator out of your mind for a minute. You're gonna get my money, all right? You're gonna get it. But when you said blow shit up, he kind of looks around. And he goes, and he's on his crutch too, so you know, Reese is with him. He's like,
yeah.
He's like, look, you strike up a deal with me, and I'll let you shoot my thunder gun.
All right. So he's like, puts his hands up, and he's like, now, a man's weapon, it's a personal thing. And he, like, pats the obvious, like, bulge on his jacket. He's like, I like a good pistol myself, but some men, like yourselves, need something bigger, something a little more kick, and I appreciate that. Now I'm going to cut it straight with you. And he, like, looks over his shoulder all conspiratorial. He's like, my manager ain't here, so I can do whatever I want. I'm going to cut you the best damn deal you ever had. Come over here. And he, like, takes you over, and he's like, Lurline, get us some coffee. And one of the other, like, salespeople, she looks at him, and she's like, fuck you, Chet. And he's like, damn right. I like her. She's got spice.
And, Hooey!
And so he walks you over to his desk, and he sits down, and you can see that on his desk he's got a whole bunch of, like he's got, like, a bunch of plastic spaceships on stands, and there's a little, like, hologram of him and his family. It's, like, him and his wife, and they're, like, 14 kids. And he's like, you a family man, Mr. Sorry, what'd you say your name was?
That's quite all right. Name's Donald Ragonite.
No, it's just like, Ragonite, that's an interesting name. Where'd you get that from?
It's, my daddy says, the most powerful name ever contrived by these here parts.
He, like, leans back and he's like, Ragonite. Yeah, I got some good feel in my mouth. I like that. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to name my next kid Ragonite Jr. just for you.
He knew that. Old Terra legend. He used to actually, he raised up America in the year zero. And supposedly he defeated the prophet Jesus Christ in single combat and made the world one again.
He's looking at you like he's totally buying the whole thing. Like, he's just nodding. He's like, that is a beautiful legend. And he like wipes a tear from his eye, like a pretend tear. And he's like,
family man, you could say that. I've got myself 32 kids.
So he leans back, like,
the only way I can be out here is with them running the farms.
He puts his thumbs in his suspenders and he's like, 32? Goddamn, you are busy, son.
I'd still be making more kids right now if I didn't have my other businesses to attend to.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you your ship sorted out, get this nav computer sorted. We're going to get you back home so you can get back to making babies the way God and Dragonette intended.
Appreciate it.
So he like takes it out his data pad and starts, like, flipping through it, and he's trying to do the, like, car dealership thing where he's like, yeah, but I could give you the nav computer in solid gold. And, like, the two of you are working back and forth. You can make a business roll. Okay. Definitely, like, absolutely take an extra plus one for your horn swoggling.
Okay.
Some very good horn swoggling.
Horn swoggling.
Oh, my God.
Damn it!
So you get to the point where, like, you've managed to get him away from, like, all the extras. You know, you've talked him down from solid gold plating and what have you. And you get back to the regular price. And he's like, this is the best I can do. Lowest price. This is, you know, how much we get it from the factory. And he kind of plays it to you. He's like, you know, things ain't been so good since the merger. Now, I personally was against it myself. And he, like, takes his hat off and kind of dramatically fans himself. And he's like, I said ever since we took in those Ximenez boys, things ain't going to go good for us. And it's been nothing but pirate head hacks since then.
Pirates. Yeah, I understand. Look, how about you go soft on us with the payment plan, seeing as how I've got 32 kids to pay for, and you weren't able to knock the price down none. So if that's where we can meet at ends meet, then... Well, I'll just be and his eyes kind of, like, panic as he's running out of shit to say, because
I'll just be like,
I'll just be a happy soldier.
Just stares at him blankly.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he does. He's like, is that right? Jesus.
Something happy. So do you tell him that it's for, like, because the Swan Song has an existing deal with Sunbeam, and you know, you're up to date.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he brings up your file, and he's like, yeah, he says, well, all right, for such stable payers, for folks who've done us such good and loyal business, I'm sure I can work some out for you. How about no interest the first 12 months? You can pay it off however you need. I mean, after 12 months, I'm going to come after you. He like kind of winks, and he's like, we'll just tack that cost right on there, and you can walk it out today. We'll send a technician over to install it.
He reaches up and says, sir, I'm just as pleasantly peased as a peach pear in the sun. Thank
you. He shakes your hand. You can see that he alternates between, like, he's doing this thing where he's, like, confused by what you're saying, but he buys into the identity so much that he doesn't want to, like, be like, wait a second, you just make that shit up. So, because you might be like, no, you just don't know it, and I'm smarter and better than you. So he's, like, he's not, he doesn't have enough self-esteem to be like, wait a sec. So he's just like, Yeah, please, this is a peach pie on a in a picnic. And then shakes your hand, makes the deal, and so we'll cut in that 100,000, and y'all get your advanced nav computer.
Comms back to the group and steps out, kind of like just takes a deep breath. He's like, and comms back just to whoever's, you know, I guess Piani would be on the ship or something like that. Says, there'll be a technician. They'll be installing something that will make travel much more efficient. I'm going to be going into surgery. I'll be back in a few days.
Okay.
Yeah.
I acknowledge.
Okay. So.
And that basically is now added to our.
Yeah, I added cost. It to the overall cost. So you're.
Does it make our payments go up?
No, you can keep the same because he's not adding any interest for a year. I mean, if you haven't paid the ship off by like 3202, then yes, but for now you're fine.
Okay.
Cool. Good work, Mr. Sakarian. Mr. Business Sakarian.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, well done. So you walk out of the dealership and you have the paperwork for a brand new nav computer. So the way that the nav computer works, for those of you who do not have the book in front of you, it gives you a bonus to +2 bonus to navigating any interstellar drill course with charts less than a year old. So
how old are our charts?
They are 11 months and 3 days old.
and can we like update them here?
You can buy new charts, yeah, from the like Astrogation Guild.
They're just $100,000.
No!
No. Yeah.
They're
just added on top.
The game of debts.
Fuck it.
Hey man, we're playing Debt Runner. Charts cost, I don't think they're that expensive. We can look it up later. I'll check it on the break.
Should be very low, I would imagine.
I think, yeah, because it's just, you're not, it's like paying for a subscription, right? You're just getting an update and renewing for the year. Okay, so chart cost.
I just hobble off towards Dr. Rasmussen then, or whatever his name is.
Dr. Rousseau, yeah. Okay. Okay, cool. So, meanwhile, you, Prosper, have gone home, I suppose?
Yeah.
And, Elena and Robert tell you about kind of what's been going on since you started, like, messaging home again.
So I guess, like, maybe we're all sitting around drinking, like, a fine wine from the wine cellar or something like that.
Yeah. What's Prosper's house like?
Like, you know, I'm picturing Victorian chateau, you know, something nice.
So you're out on the, you're like out on the balcony.
Yeah. And there's like, you know, a nice like oiled wood table out on the balcony. Maybe there's an awning to shade us from the sun.
Okay. So you and Robert and Elena are all there. And it seems just to you, like, maybe we cut into the middle of a conversation, but like Elena and Robert have been, like, cause you and Elena weren't really friends, right? Like, you were kind of associates, but it seems like Robert and Elena have like gotten to be like more friends since you were away, through their mutual like worry for you.
Yeah.
So they're getting along way better. They were basically strangers when you left.
Do we know who these people are?
Elena Durant.
Elena Durant is the woman that I've been contacting every once in a while. Like my contact on Cabral. She's the one that like, she's the one that I contacted when we wanted to like take Pi the next level of unbreakedness. I contacted her to get her like to send us people who could unbreak Pi more.
Okay.
And then Robert, I think you mentioned Robert like in the very first episode that we saw.
I think someone made a reference to someone back on Cabral, and yeah. and that was Robert.
Yeah. So, I guess this is a good question. Have you been wearing your like wedding ring the whole time you're away, or not?
Well, so like, Robert and I left on kind of pained terms. He wasn't too enthusiastic about his husband leaving for, you know, 9 months of travel.
What?
On a starship.
Yeah.
Prosper's married to a man?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. I have no judgment. I just, this changes everything. Like.
So that was, like, that was why
did
I wasn't
you guys
really...
know that? Wheat and everybody? Did everyone know that?
Oh, I think he mentioned
Jack's
it, didn't he?
Speculating for a long time.
There's, it's been pretty heavily implied, like, the whole way through.
Yeah.
Like,
okay,
all the...
well, you guys are really weird about how you introduce big concepts. You're like, yeah, the husband. Anyways, like, conversation. It's like, what? Hang on.
Yeah, it's like, not, it's not a big deal for Prosper. He's just married.
What about all those times that Prosper was like trying to make Higgs uncomfortable by hitting?
Yeah, now Jeff is immediately rethinking everything.
Yeah.
The past, like,
so the underwear in the apartment makes so much sense now.
So
I'm
yeah,
more
so,
laughing at the delivery of this. I don't, you know, who
yeah, yeah.
It's just funny.
So like Robert wouldn't have. Like he's in seeing you, he's forgotten a lot of that tension that he's been worried about you for a few months. He's been worried about you the whole time, but he's like glad that you're home. You'll have a very like heated argument in French later when Elena has gone home about like this is what happens when you leave, and I told you. But for right
that
now,
was, that was
he's just
like
glad to have you home.
When I saw him, the first thing I opened with was like the mission was a success. It's like it was worth it.
Sure,
you know.
Yeah, and so. You know, so they both tell you about what's been happening, and agents of the Order, or people claiming to be agents of the Order of Annunciation, have requested both of their presence a few times over the last few months, and they've been interviewed about you, both by Order operatives or by like priests, basically, like asking about like, you know. When you would go to church with Prosper, you know, did you notice anything unusual? Did he seem uncomfortable? You know, did he know all the words to the hymns? Like, bullshit like that. But not in, like, an aggressive way. Just, like, they were asking a lot of questions.
Hmm.
Nobody was ever threatened or hurt or anything, but they were worried that something had happened to you. I think you're having this conversation with Elena and Robert. When your like doorbell rings, there's like a ring at the.
Mm. Yeah, like maybe like I've probably said a little bit in response to them, like yeah, you know, I got this weird message, and I'm not sure what's going on. I'm surprised there wasn't more of a welcoming committee, and maybe that's when the doorbell rings.
Yeah, totally, exactly. I've been away so long, and then oh dear, yeah. So the doorbell rings. Robert looks nervous. Elena looks like she kind of scowls. What do you do?
I look at them, I say, more visitors? I didn't realize we would be having a party. I would have worn something different.
Yeah, Robert nervously shakes his head, like, I don't know who this is. Like, deal with it, Prosper. Like, he's nervous.
Right. So I just stand up, you know, straighten my collar, walk to the door. I look through the peephole first. I've learned about doors. I'm being cautious.
You see,
I'm looking for.
You see a bellboy just standing.
Yeah,
on the
there's
road.
A delivery boy. I go get my gun.
Yeah, someone who's delivering a pizza.
Yeah.
No, it's there's some soldiers. There's three. They're dressed in the like urban fatigues of the like Cabrales reserve, and you recognize. I don't know. I think you recognize one of them. Were you? On the base on Andoni, like, did you show up with the like backup squad when they were running away with
yeah.
the fact?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's Pierre. You thought he was dead. He's definitely not dead.
Ah, I reach over to the stand next to the door, mm-hmm. and I grab my pistol, and I just hold it behind my back, and I just open the door slightly, and I say, "Hello."
So Pierre looks at you and he says, "Welcome home, Prosper. I heard that you are back safe and sound. I have a message for you. Might I come in?"
Pierre, you were dead.
He laughs. I was, but the grace of Le Fantôme, we have much to discuss.
Very well. Are your armed companions necessary?
We wanted to make sure that you got where we are going safely. Please, if we could just come in, this conversation should be short.
Very well. Give me a moment. I have guests. And I close the door. I put the pistol down again. I go tell, you know, Robert and Alana, you know, maybe it's best for you to, you know, wait in the parlor or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I set out fresh glasses, fresh wine glasses, and I go back to the door. I grab the gun and I hold it very obviously, safety on, fingers off the trigger.
Sure.
And I open the door wide. I say, "Please, come
stay.
In."
Yeah, they come in and they stay in the little like entryway politely. The soldiers are, you know, holding their guns down. You don't pick up any like hostility. Like they don't seem like nervous or anything. And Pierre says, "The general sent for you. We were to come and escort you directly. She's in the House of Light Eternal. She would like to speak to you."
Well, I suppose we will let the bottle of wine breathe a little longer. Very well. Let me inform my companions that I will be returning soon.
He laughs. He's like, "No need to be so nervous, Prosper. Everything will be fine. Trust me. You've done good work." And he like puts his hand on your shoulder to kind of like, "Hey, it's cool, man. Chill."
"All right. I'll be right down." And I run up to the parlor and I let them know that I'll be back soon. And I try to reassure them a little bit. I say, "It seems like Pierre at least thinks that I've done a good job. So I'll see you tonight."
Robert looks at you like, "Again, seriously, you're gonna go do secret spy stuff already? You've been here like 20 minutes." And he like kind of scowls at you, but you can tell he's also like a little off center and doesn't, he doesn't know what to do. And so he's just like, "You do whatever you need to do, and I'm gonna pretend to be upset with you, but I'm out of my element here."
I just go,
because like Robert is like, like, what does he do for a living? Is he like, he's like a sommelier or something, right? Like, he's not a military guy.
I don't know if he's a sommelier, but yeah, you know, he's definitely like, not military.
Yeah, he just has like a civilian job.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He's probably some like, you know, CFO for some corporation on Andoni. Not Andoni, sure. Cabral. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you say goodbye to them, and maybe we see Robert, like Robert looks at Alana, and the two of them kind of like look nervously as you descend the stairs to the main floor. And then we'll cut over to Higgs. So, Higgs, you're like booking a flight, I guess.
Yeah, whatever that process is to go to the destination.
Okay. Yeah, so we cut to Higgs with his like bug out bag in like an airport terminal. Inside, there's a bunch of like holograms of different places on Cabral, like, you know, "Visit the golden pillars of such and such," and like all these different things flickering above you. And tourists kind of coming and going, and you're standing at the counter talking to a man who's like basically giving you tickets. So a flight to Bazignos, which is the closest planet, costs 500 credits, and that's like standard steerage if you want like first class.
Yeah, how much is first class?
That's 1,000.
Yeah, I pay for first class.
Okay, all right. So they're treating you a lot nicer. They go from being like, she's like kind of, he's kind of rude to you, and then you're like, no, first class, and she's like, oh, okay, and then they treat you a lot better. Wow. So maybe we follow you into the like first class lounge, and someone brings you like some wine, and there's a bunch of other kind of like rich looking folks sitting around in this lounge, waiting for the shuttle to arrive.
And this entire shuttle is all going to the same place?
No, it's the first class lounge for like this this particular like airline. So some of the flights are like around on the planet. People don't really go to, there's like flyby tours of Bazygnos, but it's really kind of like misery tourism where it's like, let's go to this planet that has TL2 and like point and laugh at all the savages. Ha ha, you have powder weapons.
Okay. Yeah, I just, maybe I keep to myself and maybe I just open up like my notebook and I'm furiously like, I'll read like 5 or 6 lines from the notebook and then just like put my head up and try to recite what I just read. Mm-hmm. So I'm just doing that. I'm spitting out like a bunch of numbers and a bunch of names next to them and just trying to memorize everything.
I was gonna say, yeah, so it's obvious that Higgs is like muttering to himself trying to like remember. Like you're like basically have like flashcards kind of like on your notebook.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So maybe that's what we get is like a series of shots of like, because it's a little while before your flight. So it's like you, like they bring you food and there's like you like trying to memorize stuff and like checking your messages. And then we hear like, you know, now boarding interplanetary flight for Bazygnos. It repeats it again in French and someone comes to you and like tells you like, oh, your flight is boarding. And they take you to the plane. It's like a small like non-drive shuttle that'll take you to the other planet.
Yeah, I just keep quiet and nod my head, sit down as nonchalant as possible.
Okay, the flight's pretty empty for the most part, and
maybe like on the flight, like as I'm flying, if I have anyone sitting next to me, they would definitely like notice my hand is just like really unstable, just really shaking if I'm holding a drink. And if I, like, notice them, I'll just, like, grab my hand with my other hand and, like, set the glass down like I'm incredibly nervous.
Yeah, maybe you're sitting next to, there's a woman. She's, like, in her mid-40s. She's wearing, like, a gray, kind of severe business suit, has her hair up in a bun. And she notices you, and you do that, and she looks at you, and she's like, is this your first flight?
It's my first flight. Is it yours? Are you a veteran?
She kind of rolls her eyes and sighs, and she's like, "Oh no, I have to make this flight all the time."
Wait, please don't talk. You gotta. I'm sorry, but your accent it's just gonna put me in a. It triggers it. Just stop.
She's like, "I'm sorry," and she turns and kind of stares at the back of the seat in front of her for a couple of minutes, and then she seems to get an idea, and she says, "I find having a drink or two helps if you feel nervous. The flight will be very short. Don't worry. Space travel is completely safe. I promise."
Is there any like divider in the future between seats?
No, but there's like an armrest you could just like bring down and be like, "Stop talking to me."
Yeah. Maybe I just like drop.
I guess you could just like put headphones.
I either like put headphones in as she's like mid sentence or something just to get it out.
Okay. As she's talking and trying to be nice, you're just like raising your hand.
Yeah, I'm just
bloop.
Put it in there.
Okay. All right. So a few hours later, this is kind of like the flight on like from this from the space station, like Earth to the space station on 2001. Like there's an airline like steward that comes and brings you food, and it's basically just like a flight, but you're in space. We see Bazygnos in the distance, and you're pulling up to an orbital dock because, as is announced over the speaker, like technically the government of Cabral is not allowed to fly into Bazygnos airspace, but there are several independent taxi services on the station that can take you, to the planet's surface if that's where you're going.
Okay. Yeah, I chase down that.
Okay. So we follow Higgs over his shoulder, out of the vehicle and onto the space station, and you walk out, and there's someone, there's a man holding a. He looks like he's just kind of like a chauffeur. He's holding a data pad with the Roman numeral 19 on it.
Okay.
And he's just holding it, kind of like scanning the crowd.
Yeah, I walk over to him, and maybe I just like check my shoulders and everything, and maybe I like put the sign down or like put my head over to try to hide it.
He flips it off when you get close, and he nods to you, and he's like, "Sir, transportation has been arranged.
Yes, great. Let's go.
If you'll follow me,
yeah, follow."
he takes you to like an orbital reentry vehicle that he's got prepared and helps you like get strapped in. But doesn't say anything to you the rest of the time. Like after you've after you're like exhibiting that you're nervous, he stays quiet. And so I think that like you get in and we just see it snaps back out to the space station. We just see like at a distance the vehicle like separate and drop down towards the atmosphere of the planet.
Okay.
Bazignos, just for you know imagining's purposes, it's got a breathable atmosphere, but its temperature is like really super hot. So there's only some places like at the poles where people can like live naturally, and the rest of the planet is too hot to live on without technology. But all the technology is broken, so everybody kind of like clusters at the two poles.
Okay. Does the chauffeur say anything else to me? And do I recognize him?
No, you don't recognize him. He just stays quiet.
Is he human?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as you can tell.
Yeah, I don't say anything else.
Okay. All right. Cool. So back on Cabral, Piani, you've found there's a roboticist. Her name is Giselle Hobbs. She's something of an outcast. You found her name through maybe some like not entirely official channels. And you've heard that she's like still researching, but is kind of like out in like a sort of hinterlands area, and she might be able to help you with what you need.
So that's like how much travel for me?
I mean, it's still on the planet, so you know you'd have to like imagine we would get a montage of going to travel there of like you taking a train somewhere, and then like hiring a car, and then. Getting to, okay. Maybe you're standing outside of, like, a sort of Mr. Burnsian-style estate where there's, like, a huge wall, and at the far end, past the gate, this big, like, iron gate, you can see, like, the house in the distance. And this is, like, her address, you know, like, out in some, like, weird part of town.
Okay. So I guess I approach the gate?
Yeah.
And what was her name again?
Dr. Giselle Hobbs.
Great. Is there a guard there? Is there like a something?
There's like an ring? Yeah, there's an intercom.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a pause while you wait, and then in front of you, you kind of have to step back because you're like standing on the holographic projector. A vaguely sort of genderless human like kind of shape in light appears, and addresses you. Kind of like looks you up and down and says. Who are you? What do you want?
Name's Piani Pick, here for Dr. Hobbs.
Dr. Hobbs is not to be interfered with. Please go away.
But I was told to come here and talk to Dr. Hobbs.
Well, I am sure you were misinformed. Please leave.
Well, is there, you know, an assistant to Dr. Hobbs, maybe?
Listen to me, you foreign stranger. I'm the only person you will talk to. And I don't like you very much, so you should...
Are you channeling your Monty Python right now?
A little.
I love it. It's awesome. If it is.
It's happening. They're going to like...
Father smells of elderberries.
Yeah. It's like a snooty French butler.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's great.
Yeah, she specifically bought the snooty French butler just to drive you away.
Well, that's not very nice. I have to talk to her about her... A robot, just a special one.
Do you know how many people come here looking to talk about special robots? Too many.
Not as special as mine.
So the VI is not impressed. Do you want to try and like get some like you're because basically you're trying to say like I have a project that's like not the usual. You're not just some weirdo.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Why don't you make a either a charisma and computers role or a charisma and post tech role, to just like explain more technically. Like, you're basically doing that thing where tech support is treating you like shit, and if you're like, listen, man, I already flushed my DNS.
Right.
Why don't you just to pull your head out of your ass and send me to your supervisor?
All right, let's see if we can make magic happen. Oh my god, 3D dice, fuck you.
Okay. So,
hold on, do I have my... it's got an X next to it, so no.
Okay. So, so in the middle of you explaining, you're like, this and this, and like, I need one of these, and the butler just like cuts you off and is like, blah, 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 I don't care. Listen, you nerd, get out. Go away, we don't want any. And it like flickers and then disappears.
Is there something for me to kick?
Yeah, sure. There's lots of stuff. You could kick the fence or whatever.
I think just for good measure, I kick the fence.
Okay.
And then I look to see how high it is.
It's not that high. Like, you could probably climb it.
Well, shit. You know? IRL hack. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Make an athletics roll for me. With either strength or dex, whichever you prefer.
Your rolling's been so good today.
So I can use wisdom here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So 2d6 minus 1. Minus 1. Sweet. Here we go.
Wow.
Oh.
Wowzers.
Just right. Barely a failure.
So you do it. You like get up on the fence and like jump over and land on the other side, and the little like camera that's on the fence like turns towards you and projects a hologram of the like butler VI, and he's like, "What are you doing? Get out of here!"
I told you I've got a doctor, Dr. Hobbs.
Yes, and I told you to leave this place. You are very disrespectful.
I only be this disrespectful if I knew that she'd be so mad that she didn't get a chance to talk to me about the project.
So it occurs to you that the butler is just a hologram and can't actually do anything to you. So
I start to take a couple steps after I say that.
Yeah, and he's like, "No, where are you going? Get back here! Come on!"
I stop for a second. "I'm coming." And then take a few more steps.
No, get out! And he like it walks towards you, but it can't. Like, it just like puts its hand through you. You're very frustrating. I've told you to leave twice. Don't make me call the constabulary.
Answer the door. I'm almost to the door.
Okay. So you're just going to like walk up the hill to the door?
Yes.
Okay. So you get out of range of the thing. Like, it gets to the edge and starts to like flicker, and he's like, "Oh, this is very inappropriate." And then like dissolves as the range breaks out. And you get to the front door. And it looks like nobody's been here in a long time. The paint on the door is like cracking and peeling. Everything is overgrown, and the windows are all like blacked out from the inside, like with paint. If you didn't know better, you'd think it was abandoned.
Guess I'll knock.
Okay. All right. So you knock and you hear the buzzing of a camera overhead, like a dome camera. It turns towards you.
I wave, assuming that the butler's on the other side. Let me in. Let me talk to Dr. Hobbs.
So there's a click, and a woman's voice comes on over a speaker that's next to the camera, and she says, "Well, aren't you persistent?
I was told you're the best, and I need the best."
Yes, I would say that's true. I am. What exactly do you need the best for?
Well, I certainly appreciate the security and what you've got set up here, but perhaps we can discuss it face to face.
It's a very unusual accent you have. Where are you from?
From Majid.
Not a lot of roboticists on Majid?
There's not. I mean, I grew up there, but I live in space.
That sounds very exciting. Tell me, what do you need me for? Why should I let you in?
You build robots, don't you?
That's an overly simplified way of describing it, but yes.
You ever built a robot who could think on its own?
The door clicks, like it unlocks, and just like swings slightly open.
I just walk in.
And Pi comes walking out.
All right. So you, you walk in, and the inside of the house, there's like a wide open area with stairs. There's a thin layer of dust on everything. All the furniture is like covered in plastic wrap. And it doesn't look like anyone's been here in this room in a long time. The intercom again like clicks, and she says, I'm in the lab. Follow the running lights. And you see that under the tiles, like the tiles have a transparent layer, and some of them light up, leading you towards what looks like an elevator.
I follow the lights.
Okay. So you follow the lights to the elevator, get in the elevator. It takes you down several floors to like an airlock, basically. You walk into the airlock, and there's another camera. You get scanned, like, head to toe. After a minute, the other door on the airlock opens. And the light is... Sorry, go ahead.
Can I, like, use Omen the moment the door opens to know if I step through, if I...
Definitely. That's an appropriate trigger of that. Okay, yeah. Go, what does it do? How much do you just spend it? I tell you.
I actually master Omen, so...
Oh, you don't even have to spend
it. Basically, and I can only use it once an hour, so that's kind of a limitation. But basically, I have a relatively straightforward choice. If I walk through this door, am I going to have harm inflicted upon me?
No.
Okay.
No, you'll be safe.
All right, then I walk through.
Okay. All right. So you you walk through the door, and as we've been doing walking through door transfers, let's jump over to Mr. Sicarian. So I think that, like...
Is that a joke about his current state of not being able to jump at him?
No. Just, you know, every time someone goes through a door, we seem to jump to another scene. So
there it is
again.
Since you and I
have already talked about the stuff that you want to do and the, like...
Yeah.
The procedures that you want, and I've okayed all the stuff you want to buy. Maybe we just jump right to Mr. Sicarian on on an operating table. So we see Mr. Sicarian from above, brightly lit. There's people around. You can hear people speaking to each other in French, and a doctor like leans over you, Mr. Sicarian, mm-hmm. and he's got a, you know, like a mask on and everything, and he says to you, don't worry, sir. We will have you operating at better than normal capacity very soon. The whole process will be very quick for you.
He says, that's why I sought you out, friend. You seem to be one of the best.
He says, at some point, and he's like saying this to you while he's getting the anesthetic ready, he's like, at some point in my life, I realized that it was my calling to make deadly things even deadlier. I've always wondered, and maybe we like see his face, like, what it would be like to operate on a tiger. A cybernetic tiger, that would be beautiful. But, and he like looks down at you, I suppose you will do. And he like pats you on the shoulder. Right then, now for the laughing gas. And he like puts the mask over your mouth, and you hear the squeak of the tank and the hiss of the gas. And I guess we fade out to break on like Mr. Sicarian with your eyes kind of fluttering shut. And what we see is a flashback to maybe the last time you saw Titan. What do we see? Like, it's all blurry and stuff, so we don't see his face maybe, but he's wearing like, you know, power armor. What's the situation? Like, what was the last time that you and Mr. Titan saw each other?
It's a rather exciting moment, I would guess, where there's a bunch of people in combat armor, mm-hmm. and a very powerful weapon, it's unclear what, has hit me in the chest, knocked me out of, like, a ship that's in, it's not in outer space, it's, you know, like, going up to a ship or whatever, mm-hmm. and it's just me falling out of it.
Cool. All right. So yeah, we just see, we see maybe the ship, and like it's like you falling out of a helicopter. Basically, we see the open dock, and is it like did, was it Titan that like shot you? Is that the implication?
Titan and a couple other people.
Cool. Okay. So there. there's a bunch of other soldiers. Maybe they all have power armor, so we can't see their faces with the helmet on. But just yeah, Titan standing there with like a smoking like thunder gun, and you like falling away, and that's totally the falling is like you falling into unconsciousness. Cool. And then cut to commercial.
Good stuff. All right, 2 hours down, two to go. We'll be back with more Roleplay Swan Song right after this. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be fun next hour. We'll see you guys then.